Any questions from this morning that seem all pretty clear thus far? Things kind of messed up, huh? Many of you have asked about the information that I've got as far as you want copies of it. We have the tapes, of course. The tapes are $3 a piece. We have that. They'll have everything that is said. Also, I'll try to have some of these rent off, maybe this stuff that I've been giving you today, and maybe some of it tonight. I'll try to have it for you next week. I'll try to have several copies so that you can have it. Also, I have given the elders, or most of them, some of these things that we've been doing as far as what the Congress has voted, and I'll maybe have some of those too that I can give to you, so that you can take them and wage war with them as you begin to talk to people and minister to people. So I want to have that for you. I want to pray for us once again to have an understanding heart, that I believe that God is honoring that as we have been praying it. It seems that the Lord has been blessing our times and our teachings and has been giving us understanding. So once again, before I enter this, I'm going to ask you to stand just once more, and then you'll be seated for 30, 45 minutes. And then we're going to ask the Lord to give us an understanding heart. So let's do that. Amen. Father, the prayer that we pray is not only for anointing. Of course, Lord, we can do nothing without your anointing. But Lord, the prayer that we're praying right now is for an understanding heart. Lord, your people are great. And Lord, you want to minister to. You told us that we should be salt and that we should be light. And Lord God, you said that we need understanding. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you will give our congregation, that you will give this people understanding. Lord, that you will give me understanding, that you will give this eldership understanding, that you will give this leadership in this church, and you will give every person understanding. Lord, Lord, knowing that in the future we will come in contact with people that will have to have answers to make proper decisions. And Lord, that we will be able to be light and be salt to that people, to that person. Lord, I ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ that as we enter this teaching time tonight, that you will give us understanding. You will touch our ears that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today, that, Lord, we can go forth with an understanding heart. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. We all say, amen, amen. It's a neat prayer, isn't it? It was so neat. I saw that. How I really saw it as I was looking at understanding is in the light aspect. And I was going through the scriptures and jumped right in there with Solomon, where he was asking for understanding. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. We'll begin there tonight. Before I read it, I'll give you these charts that will just kind of follow up and pick us up from where we were this morning. What I have here is a chart that tries to give us a thought about our national taxes. As I showed you this morning, the things that I had beginning in the 1900s and the taxes that each person paid, as you see, as the decades went on, the taxes stayed pretty level. There was a little increase. But then as 1940s came, and then after World War II in particular, you start seeing things happen and escalating. And then, of course, you go to the other wars that we went through, and then you see all of a sudden, man, it just takes off. And in the 1970s is when it really took its major turn and took off. And I believe that it was around in those times that if we'll look back, we'll begin to see that our nation really began to turn away from righteousness. We began to turn away from the things that we knew to do. And it just began to escalate. And the oppressing aspects of taxes began to come upon us. This chart is to try to show us the deficit versus income, the speckled ones here. This is like Jacob's with the speckled and the spotted. And the speckled ones is the federal budget, and then the striped ones is the income of every year. And you can see how And every year, since 1974, that the national budget has exceeded the income. And this is total income, not only taxes, but all the income that the nation would have. A very interesting thing, and I think it'll even show out up better on this next one that I have. But if you'll notice that right here, even though the budget went much higher than did the taxes, you'll still see that from in the 80, 81, 82, 83, and 84, that taxes kind of leveled there a little bit. Can you see that? Can you see what I'm trying to show you here? It'll probably be a little clearer on this next one. But this is when, of course, President Reagan came in, and it leveled off, and he actually came in when did Reagan come in? 80, okay? And then, of course, you see what happened here, and then you can see it again a little bit over the last couple of years, even though the budget has been astronomical, you can still see that Bush has tried to hold it some right through here. So anyhow, that just shows a little bit of that. And then this last one that I want to look at is the deficit snowball. Starting again in 74, you see that the deficit, though climbing, taxes kind of remained along the same. The taxes stayed same, but the deficit was snowballing, of course, and adding every year to the next, and it just kept snowballing on up. And then in 82, particularly right here in the 80s and so forth, you see that it come up and then it leveled off through 86s. And this is the taxes right here, the level of taxes. And you see this, even though it's climbing and going up, you see that it's not nearly the astronomical line that the deficit has taken off in. This is the taxes, and this is the deficit, and you see how the deficit has just went off and left everything. It's $3 trillion in 92, in the fiscal year 92, which was in September, $3 trillion, and Duran told me today that he had heard a statement where in the fiscal year for 93, it's already over $4 trillion. So it hadn't gone up just billions. Now it's starting to go up now in trillions. Yeah, interest is something like, and I was telling him, interest is something like $18 billion on the interest. So it's I really these are just numbers and words to me, because I cannot. Turk's not here. Let's see. He gave me this little example, and I meant to look it up today, and I forgot. I got this at home, too. And I was going to get it and write it down to make sure I did it right. Does anybody know that... Okay. $1 million is 4.5 inches of $1,000 bills stacked up. Okay. That's that. Huh? Okay. Tightly stacked. Tight. All right. $1 billion is... No. The $1 trillion was 61 miles long. 60, yeah, thick. So, I mean, you can stack it $1 trillion, 61 miles. And so if we're $3 trillion in debt, we are. $183 miles of $1,000 bills in debt. Wow. There's no way, you can't comprehend. There's no way you can, $1,000 is a lot to me. when you start talking about this is numbers and figures, and I think that's kind of what these congressmen have gotten into, is they're just numbers and figures. They really doesn't mean anything to them anymore, and that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit. Okay. I just wanted to do that to kind of get us on the track again as to where we were. In Matthew, bankrupt. That might be what happens. That might be what has to happen. That might be what they're figuring on happening. I don't know. But in Matthew 17, that's not just the Congress opinion. That's people's opinion too. If I don't have the money for it, I'll go borrow the money. And that's basically the attitude that's there too. All right, in Matthew 17:24. Lance, can you give me just a little monitor here? I feel like I'm straining. In 24, and when they had come to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax?" Now, what does King James call that? What does it call? Temple tax? No. What? Tribute? Yeah, tribute. I thought that it did, and I wanted to make real sure because that's the... Thank you. That was the thing that I wanted to kick off on and show you that the Scriptures talk about, in the King James Version, tribute. And it's talking about taxes. When you want to find out about taxes in your Bible, start looking up the word tribute. That is the primary one. Then customs. Okay? So what we have here is Jesus coming into the city, into Capernaum, and these guys coming up to Peter and saying, doesn't your master pay tax? And he said yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From the sons or from strangers?" Who pays tax? Does the sons of the kings of the earth pay taxes, or does the strangers, those that aren't sons? And upon his saying, this is what Peter answered, "From strangers." Then Jesus said to him, "Consequently, the sons are exempt." And King James Bible says free. "Consequently, the sons are exempt." Meaning that those that pay taxes are not free, are not exempt. And if your translation does use exempt there, you can look into your margin and you can see that that means free. So what he's saying here is the people that pay taxes are not free. Then verse 27, "But lest we give them offense, go to the sea and throw in a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a starter. Take that and give it to them for you and for me." Now, the thing that I really want to point out here and emphasize is that what I'll be showing you tonight is a takeoff off of this. And the point that I'll be trying to make tonight through the Scriptures is that in the Scriptures, those who pay tax are under rule, are under submission to those receiving the tax. And that's the biblical stand on Scriptures, and you'll see it as we move through it in just a few seconds through all the Scriptures that I'll be showing you. But the biblical standpoint is that the people that pay tax are under the oppression of those that receive the tax. Now, and I can say that, and I believe that this is true today, and I say this because it seems that after I've shown you all these voting records this morning about tax increases and what they want to take our taxes and apply them to, and how they won't cut, they just want to keep adding. I can say that because I see that there seems to be an attitude there, a haughty attitude, that they can do anything that they want to do with taxes. And it seems that they have this opinion in Congress that we're not going to, it's kind of like, and I'll read it in a little while, it's kind of like when Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, became king after Solomon's death, that he said, "The ones that were before me were, my you think my dad was bad?" He says, "You wait till I get through with you." And he sent the tax. That was the first time that the Scriptures ever talk about them trying to send the tax collectors to the people of God. And what they did is they stoned him to death. The tax collector. And there seems to be this attitude in Congress, that they can do anything they want to. And that we're just the peons We're just the nobodies, and if they make a decree, then we've got to do it. And you know what? We will, and they're right. We chose them. And I'm going to finish up tonight with that passage as well, or not turning to it, but just relating to it, that we've got to realize that we did choose them. And sitting around and mumbling about it and crying about it, God says, that's not going to do any good. You chose them. You get rid of them. So that's basically the attitude that I see there, and it's the point, the primary point that I'm going to be making with you tonight, because that's the biblical stand. And then I want to point this out while we're here at this passage, and I want us to make sure that we don't sound rebellious or in a civil disobedient mode, because I am not. But I want us to make sure that we understand what the Lord says here. Why does the Lord Jesus Christ, why does He say, pay your taxes here? Why did He pay His taxes? Why did He tell Peter to go and catch this fish? Why? So there wouldn't be an offense. The word offense means stink. So that we won't stink to them, let's pay our taxes. Folks, there's some things that we do in the kingdom of God just so that we will be a light, be salt, that people will be attracted to us and we won't be offensive to them. There's some things, we're having this thing now at our house with the young adults, and we have done, I think, four different ones of these that we've done here twice. We've done abortion, we haven't done this one, we've done the lottery. What else have we done, guys? We've done four of these issues that we've looked up. Sex education. Anyway, we've done four of them. But one thing that we're learning as we're really going through the scriptures, we're finding out that God has really given us a lot of liberty. When you become a Christian, you have a lot of liberty. A lot of liberty. And one thing that Lance said this past Wednesday night that I thought was really good, you know, sometimes it's better not to have a bunch of liberty. Sometimes it's better to try to function under legalism, because then you don't have to worry about offending people. Sometimes we can take our liberty and become offensive. And so what Jesus says here is to make sure that we don't stink to them. Let's pay our taxes. Christians need to pay their taxes. We need to pay our bills. Period. We can't pay them, we shouldn't make them. So I wanted to point those two things out here and kind of kick off from this thought. So now let me show you the scriptures that will back up the statement that I just made, that in the scriptures you basically find out that the people that pay taxes are under oppression from or rule from those that collect or receive the tax. Now let me look first of all with a word definition. The word tribute is also used, and it's not the same word that we'll find in other scriptures. This particular word for tribute here is found two different times. It's found in Numbers and in Deuteronomy. And what this is a tribute that is paid from abundance. At the Feast of Pentecost, what they were told to do was bring and pay a tribute. It was kind of like a tax, but it was given so that everybody there can rejoice. It was a tax, but it was given so that everybody that came, the Levite, the orphan, the widow, so that everybody can rejoice at Pentecost time. That was, you can look that up and you can see it. So it's kind of like receiving an offering, but it was a tax. It was a tribute. That's what he calls it there in Deuteronomy and also in Numbers. And in Numbers, they went to war and they came back from the Midianites and they had gotten all this cattle and people, and they had captured this whole city. And God tells them how to distribute that so that the high priest will have his and that the Levites will have theirs. And he calls it a tribute. It wasn't an oppressive thing. It was more because you have this abundance, share it. But what we will see after that, after those two passages, you find that tribute means this right here. The primary thought of the word tribute And I'm going to look at it in just a few seconds. In all of the scriptures in the Old Testament, in Joshua 6:16 is one of them, but it means a burden. When it talks about paying tribute, when it talks about people paying tribute, it talks about putting a burden on them. And then in the New Testament, what the word means is a load, a tax. And this is what Paul is talking about here in Romans 13. Put the load on them. You know, we have to pay the load. And the other word for tax in the scriptures is custom. And it means a journey toll on goods at a road. This is what Matthew was. Matthew was a customs collector. I won't ever forget the first time that Judy and I went to Canada, where we did. And we were in the Mercury and we didn't know what to do. We drove up to the custom gate, and the guy says, and he looked just like Randy Adler, just talked like Randy Adler. He says, "What do you declare?" We didn't know what do you declare? You said, "Well, I declare." But what he was there for was if you had brought something out, particularly foodstuffs, then you were to pay customs on it. You were to pay a tax. We didn't know. We thought the guy was just checking us out, you know. And we he got mad at us because we really didn't know. We were, and he really did. He got a little upset with us. And so we finally got out of there, and late that night we was going back over to see Niagara Falls and the lights on it and stuff like that. We came back and got the same guy again. And he looks at us, he says, "Didn't I have you all a while ago?" And we said, "Yes, sir." I guess you had been there. But it was really funny. This guy, you know, he's asking, he says, "What do you declare?" And so he wanted us to pay some taxes. All right, but that's what it means. It means the burden. The taxes means the burden. Remember that. Now, the Canaanites, which were not driven out of the land, when they went into the land, God told them, says, "Kill them all, drive them out, get rid of them." Well, of course, they didn't do it. And the ones that were not driven out were made to pay taxes. And these taxes were paid to the dominant people. These taxes were paid to the people that ruled the land. In other words, the Canaanites had to pay the tax to the dominant people. In Joshua 16:10, "And they drove out not the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, and the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute." And then in Judges 1:28, "And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." Keep going on through the scriptures. David assigned a person to be over the taxes received. And then I put it down here, but it needs to be up here. David, I could never find in the scriptures where David charged his people tribute. Now he had this guy whose name was Adoram. He had this guy collecting tribute, but it was from all the nations that he had subdued. All the nations that David subdued, he made them pay taxes and pay tribute. He had this guy that watched over it. And Adoram, as 2 Samuel 20:24, and Adoram was over the tribute, and Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Solomon assigned a man over the tribute. And this is in 1 Kings 4:6. And Ashihar was over the household. And that guy, the son of that guy, was over the tribute. So, but again, it never says that Solomon taxed the people. And here it shows us who he did tax. Solomon taxed the Canaanites that remained in his dominion. In 1 Kings 9:20, "And all the people that were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, which were not of the children of Israel, their children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able to utterly to destroy, upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of bond service unto this day." And then in 2 Chronicles 8:8, but of their children who were left after them in the land whom the children of Israel consumed not, them did Solomon make to pay tribute until this day. I could not find in the Scriptures where it ever said that Solomon or David ever taxed their people. They taxed the Canaanites. That was very clear. They taxed everybody else, but they never taxed their people. And I think that's what Jesus is here speaking about when we read this passage, when he says, do the kings of the earth charge taxes to their sons? And the answer is no. Then are you free? When Israel and Judah divided, now this is really neat. I may really preach on this. Jeroboam and Rehoboam thing, you know, this is when the nation of Israel split and there was the division. Israel was the northern kingdom and Judah was the southern kingdom. But when Judah divided, the division happened when a tribute collector sent by Jeroboam, Solomon's son, was stoned to death. Here it seems Jeroboam was going to tax the people. But is Jeroboam or Rehoboam his son? Was it Jeroboam? It doesn't matter. This may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, that's, of course, me. That's what I'm saying. But it seemed to hear that. Do you remember the story? They came to Solomon's son, and they said to him, "Hey, listen, your dad kind of tough on us. How about backing off a little bit?" And he says, "Hey, my dad had you work." He says, "But I'm gonna be like a scorpion to you." And he says, "You just think dad was bad." He got this young counsel. He got this counsel from these young guys, and they really shot it to him. You know, they were really going to shoot it to him. And so it was Rehoboam. I thought it was King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Now, what it seems like to me in this passage is that what Rehoboam did was send the tax collector to start taxing the people. And when he tried to do that, then they stoned him to death. Sounds reasonable to you? Because they were not going to pay taxes. They were the ones that owned the land. They were the ones that were there. And to pay taxes to them was worth stoning somebody about. But it seems that was the thing. Because after that happened, therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him out of his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. So that was the thing that caused the nation to really rebel when Rehoboam tried to charge the people taxes. When Israel's king at this time, Jehoahaz, made treaty with Egypt, Israel had to pay tribute to Egypt. This is in 2 Kings 33, 31 through 33. Verses 32 and 33. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Nehosha put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Now, when Israel was strong in the land, the Philistines paid taxes to Israel. In 2 Chronicles 17:11. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 goats. So, when Israel was strong, when Jehoshaphat was ruling, they paid tribute to the ruling forces. And this goes right on through Scriptures. Every time you find tribute, this is basically the thought that goes along with it. The king of Persia was told Israel would not pay taxes if allowed to rebuild Jerusalem. This is in Ezra 4:13 and again in Ezra 4:20. And then King Artaxerxes made it illegal to tax the priests. Now, he had the power to decide who would pay taxes and who didn't. He made it illegal to tax the priests and the Levites. Ezra 7:24. King Ahasuerus, in Esther 10:1, he laid tribute upon the land that he had conquered and upon the isles of the sea. Now this is interesting in Proverbs 12:24. This is what the Proverbs 12:24 says. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The word tribute here is that same word, means burden. The NASV Bible reads it this way. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. I'm wanting you to make sure that you see the gist of the scriptures about tribute is that those that paid tribute were always under the rule of the kings of the earth, were always the oppressees, and they had to pay tribute to the oppressors. They had the kings of the earth had a mentality, well, we'll just charge you, we'll make you pay to do what we want to do. And it's kind of that same attitude and spirit that I'm getting off of Capitol Hill, that you kind of get from our Congress, is that, especially when you start looking at what they're voting on, and you find out that they will not cut taxes, they vote against anything that will cut taxes, and they keep sticking it to you, over and over again, just keep adding it to you. There's a bad attitude there somewhere. It's kind of like this, you know. Matthew, the disciple, was a tax collector. We know that. He wasn't a tax collector. He was at the receipt of custom. Right here, receipt of custom. So as they came into the city with their stuff, I suppose, to sell, there would be sitting Matthew, and he would be like that guy that me and Judy ran into, I suppose. What do you declare? Jesus paid taxes. Now, this is the verse that we just read. And again, I think it kind of summates up and emphasizes the point that I'm trying to make to us. The thing we need to see here is that the Lord clearly tells us here that those who pay taxes are not free. Then Jesus told us to pay taxes. This is in Matthew 22, Mark 12, Luke 20, Matthew 22:15. I'm reading it. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person or of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute, taxes, to Caesar or not? The question is clearly this. Should we pay taxes? Should a Christian pay taxes? Should he? What does he say? He says, bring me a coin. They brought him a coin. He says, whose picture's on it? Abraham Lincoln's on this one. Is that Abraham Lincoln on the penny? Think so. Indians. Says, bring me a coin. They brought him a coin, and of course, it's the same principle. And there was an inscription. There was a picture on it. Whose picture's on here? Is it Caesar's? Well, give Caesar what's his. Give God what's his. The same way that we're commanded to give to God what is God's, we're commanded to give to them, to Caesar what is his. So nowhere in scriptures can you find that we're not supposed to pay taxes. Nowhere. In fact, we are told, shown the Lord did it himself. Peter did it. They did it very simply. Steve Lee was telling me, he says, but when he paid taxes, he did it with us in a supernatural way. Maybe we need to just wait until we supernaturally get the money to pay taxes. Well, when one of you guys go fishing and you catch a fish and he's got a coin in his mouth, let me know about it, okay? He said to them, whose image is this? Whose image? And superscription. And they say unto him, Caesar. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and unto God the things which are God's. And they heard this, and they heard his words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And that word there, now in Romans, this is the word that's in Romans, the word tribute in Romans 13, 4 through 8, means a load and a tax. Paul's instructions was to pay tax. Chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, and I may read a few more on this next one. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. And he's talking about the government. The minister is supposed to be a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do not do that which is... And I don't have time to really get into this, but does God raise up and does God sit down? Did God raise up Nebuchadnezzar? Did God raise up Pharaoh? God raises him up, for he's a minister of God. The Bible speaks about Nebuchadnezzar, who came and destroyed Jerusalem. He says, my servant, Nebuchadnezzar. My servant, Clinton. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sakes. You just need to do it for your conscience sake. For this cause, pay tribute, pay taxes also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. It's interesting to me that that comes in that passage. Owe no man anything but to love him. Same passage you talk about paying taxes, talking about don't owe anybody anything but to love him. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law of Christ. So, what have we seen? Well, we've seen that the scriptures tell us, I'm trying to see if there's anything else I want to get, that the oppressors are the ones who will heavily tax the people. And again, I want to say that I really feel that's true, and there's an arrogant spirit that comes down from Congress today that they can do anything they want to do. They can tax us anything they want to tax us, and we'll have to pay it. And then secondly, I think we saw that the Lord Jesus paid taxes. Third thing we saw is the Lord and Paul told us to pay taxes. So what are we going to do? Pay taxes. The reason that we pay taxes, Jesus said, why? What was his reason? We won't stink. Pay your taxes. And I want to close with this. Just that same scripture that was in Samuel. We won't turn there because you should remember it. If you wasn't here, the passage was in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Jesus and the Lord spoke to Samuel, told him, said, Samuel, they're going to tax them heavy. They have a king. They're going to put heavy taxes on them. And he says, and they're going to cry out to me. The taxes get so bad, they're going to cry out. When they get a $1 trillion deficit and they're going to try to make people pay it, they're going to cry out. When you go to the store that costs you 7% more for your item than it's listed for, or 10%, according on where you're at. You go to the gas pump and half of the gas, the price of the gas that you get is taxes. Wherever that you go, they add this tax onto it. They're going to cry out to me. And he says, but tell them, won't do any good. You chose them. And so, what I want to say again, the same thing I said this morning. We did choose them. And it's up to us to unchoose them. And so rather than crying about it, what do we need to do? How many of you have not registered to vote? Don't be ashamed if you haven't. You don't have to raise your hand. If you haven't, just hear what I'm trying to say. You need to register to vote. You need to know the issues, and you need to vote. If we don't, they're going to keep sticking taxes to us. They're going to keep doing abortions legally. They're going to have pornography coming out every place, and your kids are going to get messed up with it. It's we got to get woke up. The church has got to know what's going on. If we're really going to be light, if we're really going to be salt, we have got to know what in the world is going on. Can you hear me tonight? And that's the whole thing that this whole. And I think maybe one more week on this is going to wind us up on this issues thing that we're doing. But I just want us to know, folks, This is too important. It's just too important to stick our head in the sand and think it's going to go away. It's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming until the church wakes up and does something. I really believe that was the word of the Lord to me to share with you, that each one of us can influence at least five people on their vote. I think each one of us can influence at least five people and share with them the issues. And I'll do everything I can to get into your hands whatever that is necessary, whatever you need, whatever tools, weapons you need. I'll do everything I can to get it into your hands. I'll give you tapes. I'll give you this stuff. I'll do anything that I can. But folks, we have got to become light and we've got to become salt. We've got to know the issue. We really do. You agree with that? Yeah. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I hadn't thought about it, and Steve Lytle kind of mentioned it this morning. He says, what we really need to do is just get up, all everybody come to the front and start stomping the government. Well, I'm not sure that's what will stomp the government, but we will stomp principalities and powers, okay? The hindering spirits that are keeping us from becoming the light and the salt, and the hindering spirits that are over our air. I think that's good to do. So let's do that. Let's just everybody come up here, and we're gonna get your stomping shoes on, and we're gonna stomp some spirits. We're gonna do a little warfare. Michelle, maybe if you and David get over there and get us some noise going. Get old stomping music. Do you remember the passage that I shared with you one time from Kings, where the prophet came to the king, and he told him, he says, take your sword, your arrows out, and throw them on the ground, and beat them, So the king did. He took out three, and he beat three arrows on the ground, and then the prophet said, "Am I saying it right? Beat the ground three times with whatever he was beating with," and the prophet said, "Because you hit three times," he says, "then you're only going to defeat them three times." He says, "You should have done it five or six or seven times." And the principle is this, is that when we come into these kinds of things, if you're really serious with understanding spiritual things, that what we're doing is going to seem mighty funny. And you will laugh. You'll laugh at yourself. But something's going to happen in powers and principalities. We're going to do a demonstration, and we're going to demonstrate to them that we are ready to become light and salt, and we're ready to put them under our feet. In Romans, the 16th chapter, maybe it's the 15th chapter, but I could find it if I wanted to. It's one of those chapters. It says that Satan shall be put under your feet shortly. So what we want to do right now is put those powers and principalities under our feet. I am tired of 20, 30, 40% of our income going to taxes. To support abortion, to support pornography, to support whatever they want to do. I'm tired of that. Are you tired of that? Well, we're going to come against that spirit right now, that spirit that of wasteful money in Congress. And I don't know its name, but God does, and we're just going to stomp it. Corrupt government. That's a good one. All right, we'll name it. We're going to come against the spirit of corrupt government, and we're going to stomp it right now. Unrighteous government. Amen. Get us going. All right, stomp you.